Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye, the Lord, everybody. Amen. We praise God for being here today. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Yes, we are here. We are live right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network, in Jesus' name. God bless you all, each and every one of our listeners, in Jesus' name. Amen. I praise God for being here on today. I praise God for another blessed Saturday. If you are listening to me right now, it is Saturday. Amen. I thank God. God brought us through another week in Jesus' name. We praise God. I thank God for bringing me through another week in Jesus' name. You through another week. Want to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, in Jesus' name. Giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this great network, Apostle Cook, in Jesus' name.
God bless you.
In Jesus' name. Also giving honor to my pastor and my first lady in their absence, in Jesus' name. Pastor William Tuggle and First Lady Cosette Tuggle, and all of the Triumphant Faith family, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all in Jesus' name. On today, and also I want to give honor to the listeners in Jesus' name, because you are the ones that make this broadcast. You are the one that makes this network. The reason why the Spirit of Life does what they do is for souls. Amen. Amen. We are looking to help the kingdom of God to transform souls. Amen. So blessings unto you also. On today, we are going to be talking about a very powerful topic today. And you can possibly hear it in my voice. But I'm a firm believer in God moving, firm believer in God doing the impossible, making the impossible possible. I'll just put it that way. Today we're going to be talking about miracles today. And the title of the title of this topic today is, It's Only a Test. It's Only a Test. Only a Test. I need a miracle. It's only a test. Lord, I need you. I need you. And this is for people today that have been going through. You've been praying, you've been fasting, you've been reading your word, you've been on your knees, off your knees, in your car praying, Lord, when are you going to show up and show out? You're getting to the last brink, and you still don't see that miracle happening everywhere around you. Everything is messed up. Looks like everything is messed up, but I'm here to tell you today that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than you can ever ask or think. And no, this is not a prosperity message. This is not, I'm talking about anything that you might be going through. I'm not just talking about money, and that's not the main thing that I'm talking about today. I ain't even talking about that today. If the Lord brings it up, he brings it up. But I'm not even talking about that today. I'm talking about those things that we are going through deeply in our soul. People that need healing, people that need salvation, people that need a change of mind, people that have gone through the ringer so much that they are getting ready to lose their mind. They feel like they're getting ready to lose their mind. That's who I'm talking about today. That's who we are talking about today. That's who we're here to encourage today. And any others that are going through, it's only a test. It's only a test. The title of this topic came from, the Lord brought it back to my remembrance, my former pastor, Pastor Dorothy McGordon, she preached a sermon titled, It's Only a Test. It's only a test. The things that we are faced with in life, it's only a test. And I like to add something to that, that without the test, you have no testimony. If we never went through anything in life, we wouldn't know how good God is. Remember that. If we never went through any problems in life, if we went through this life with lollipops and rainbows, you know, we got everything that we wanted and needed, and we got that great job that we want, and we living in a mansion on a hill, there's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is, if we always had that 24/7 every day of every minute of life, and we had everything that we wanted, everything that we needed, and we didn't have to ask God for anything, what would our life really be like? What would our life look like? It would be dangerous. Let me explain this to you. This is the way God showed me this. God showed me, if we had everything that we wanted in life, everything that we wanted in life, I want you to catch this, everything that you want in life. Now, there's nothing wrong with having dreams. There's nothing wrong with, you know, having goals and aspirations and you praying to the Lord saying, Lord, I want this. There's nothing wrong with asking God for things. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want you to see this. God wants us to see that if we had everything and if God was to answer every single miracle, every single thing that we wanted at every single, if he was at our beck and call every minute, every second, in which he is, not saying that he's not, but if he answered it when we asked for it right then and there, and he never allowed us to go through any problems, that's a very dangerous thing. It's very dangerous. You are living in a very dangerous area in your life if God never allowed you to go through anything. You might say, well, Minister Adam, how is that dangerous? It's dangerous because you wouldn't need God. And God wouldn't have to do anything. And that's dangerous. It's very dangerous to have a life that a person that has a life and they feel like they don't need God. It's dangerous. If your life was a flower bed of ease all the way from your birth to your death to the day you meet the Lord, if you never went through anything, if every 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you didn't go through anything, you wouldn't need God. I know. Most of us, we want that life. We would love to have that life. But it's a very dangerous life to live. That's why we need miracles. That's why we need miracles. Because some people, that's why God performs miracles in our life, to show us, hey, I'm still on the throne. I got you. I got you. Even where at your lowest point, he's got you. He's got you. And you might say, well, Minister Adam, I've been going through this and that and this and that, And I've been going through this for a long time. I've been praying. I've been fasting. I've been keep on doing it. My advice to you is to keep on doing it. But Mr. Adam, you don't understand. I've been praying. I've been fasting. I've been living right. I've been going to church. I've been reading the Word. I've been listening to the preacher. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. I've been giving. I've been doing this. But and nothing seems to break. You know what? I'm going to tell you this, and this is a testimony. For 32 years, because it started when I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I'm 36 now, so about 32 years, I'll say, I've been living with a disability. 32 years. I have a physical disability, cerebral palsy on my right side. But I've never let that hinder me from believing what God can do. Never. I still know that He can perform the miracle. I still believe. You might say, well, Minister Adam, you've never been through anything like that before. You've never been through losing somebody and you not knowing what the next month, what the next minute might hold. I've been there. Been there, done that. There's nothing in this world that you could ever go through. What I said all that to say this, there's nothing in this world that you can go through, that you'll go through, that God is not aware of. There is nothing that you can ever go through that God will not see you out of. Amen. But my money is funny, my job is on the rocks, my marriage is on the rocks, this is on the rocks, and that's don't matter. God has got you. God has you. God is getting ready to bring forth the miracle. It's only a test. Now, on the flip side of that coin, we have to be ready for the miracle. We have to be ready for the blessing. In the midst of the test, we have to be ready. How? You might say, well, Minister Tuggle, what do you mean? I have to be ready. We have to be in line, in alignment with God to receive the blessing. Because sometimes the way we live our life, sometimes our faith in God can be the factor that plays if we get the blessing on time or not. If we're always in our thought process, if with our thoughts in the thought process of, well, I don't believe God's going to do that. We're always in doubt. And don't you know that hinders God from moving for you? That hinders God. Let's go to some scriptures. And if anybody's on here, because I know we have some people on here, if anybody wants to give a comment or a concern today, you can. It's free. It's open. Mics are unmuted. So you can chime on in here, because today we're just here to encourage today, here to talk about the miracles. We're here to talk about it's only a test today. I'm looking for a miracle, but it's only a test. Amen. So I want to take you to a scripture. And this scripture and this verse means a whole lot to me in my personal life, because I know what this is. I'm living it now. I'm living it now, me personally. In Mark chapter 3, verses 2 through 5, this is a man, and I'm just paraphrasing here before I read it. This is a man with a withered hand. And this man was stricken with a disability. This is basically what happened to him. A withered hand means he has a disability. His hand is disabled. He is disabled. He is medically, in our modern time, in this time in 2024, he would be considered as a person that is disabled. So I understand this verse very, very well, because I live it. In these verses, I want to read these verses to you, verses 2 through 5 in Mark chapter 3. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. Verse number 4. And he said unto him, he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around and about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Now, I want to show you this. Something that the Lord showed me in this. Now, you might be going through something. This is why it's not good to tell your business to everybody. When you're looking for God to do something, it's not good to tell everybody what you're going through, because you're going to have some doubters around you. If we read verse number 6, before Jesus healed this man with the withered hand, this man with the withered hand had some doubters around him. He had some doubters around him. Now, did he talk to the Pharisees and all that? No, I'm not saying that. But what we're saying is, can't tell everybody your problems. You cannot. It's not good to. It's not good to tell everybody your problems. Sometimes, I've learned from my mother, I learned sometimes it is best sometimes. And the Bible says, know them that labor among you. Go to the ones that you know that can, number one, get a prayer through for you. Because if you're looking for a miracle, you're going to need somebody that knows how to pray other than you. That's number one. To get into the key to your miracle, to get into your miracle, you're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to take some steps to getting to your miracle. God is not just going to, he can just drop a miracle on you. But God's not going to just drop the miracle just because you ask for it. He's going to look at your faith. See, the Bible lets us know in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is up to us to walk and to live in the faith that God has given us to get to the miracle that God has for us. It's only a test. With the faith helps us know that it's only a test that we go through, that what we are going through is only a test. Hear me today. Hear me. I want you to catch this. what we go through is only a test. The faith that God gives us in our life, the faith that God put on us when we got saved, the faith that God put on us, the faith that God put in us to believe him, helps us navigate through the problems and the issues of life. It helps us get to that next miracle that we need. Yes, we might be a person that is going through the test and the trial, and we might be going through a test and a trial for years and be asking God, well, God, when, oh Lord, is it going to be my time for me to receive my miracle? When will this test be over? When is this test going to end? We have to walk in faith. We have to walk by faith and not by sight, the Bible says. We have to walk by faith. Faith is the belief and the trust that we have in God to know that he can do, the Bible says, that he does exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. Why is it more than we can ever ask or think? Because he goes beyond what we ask. He goes beyond our thought processes in the blessings that he gives us. But our faith has to be strong enough to get us through that. Let's look at the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood dealt with this issue with her blood for 12 long years. But at the end of it, when God healed her, he said what? Your faith has made thee whole. He said, your faith has made thee whole. So as we look at this, the faith of God, the faith in God, the trust in God, the belief in God that he can do exceedingly and abundantly is the key to our miracle. Because the Bible in Hebrews, as we quoted, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We're looking for a miracle. We're hoping for the miracle to come our way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's what we want. That's why we pray. That's why we seek God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Why is it added unto us? Why is these blessings added unto us? Why have these miracles been added unto us? Because we have sought the face of God. We have walked by faith and not by sight. We did everything. The Bible says faith without works is dead. We can walk into a dead situation if we do not. I preached a sermon a long, long time ago, work your faith. Work your faith. Faith. If your faith is not being stretched, you will not get to the next miracle that God's got for you. You cannot do it. You can't do it. You have to have faith. This is why in Jude, verse number 3, it says, contend for the faith that was once delivered. With the faith that God has put down in us, we have to believe in it. We have to live it. We have to obey it. We have to be obedient unto the faith that God has put in us to receive the miracles that God's got for us. I'm going to say that again. We have to obey the faith that God has put in us to receive the miracles that God has got for us. Y'all still didn't catch that. Let me say that one last time. We have to believe and live the faith that God has put in, obey the faith that God has put in us to receive the miracles that God has got for us. See, some people don't understand. This is the faith the faith that's being activated in our life, some people that are around us, people that are around us will not understand, will not understand, will not understand why you're smiling through the pain. They won't understand why you're laughing through the pain. The Bible says laughter is like a medicine. Do it good. Laughter do it good like a medicine. Sometimes it's good to laugh when you're going through. Get a good laugh in. You'll confuse the devil. In the times of trouble, the devil wants you to not only worry about the problem, but he wants you to just lay in the bed of the problem. He wants you to lay in doubt so that you can't. Don't you know that the more you worry about the problem, the more you worry about the issue, the more you worry about all of that, and the less you give God praise in the midst of the problem, is the less time, well, more than none, you stay in that problem. You might say, well, Mr. Adam, I didn't catch that. What do you mean? The more you linger on the issues of your life in thought, in word or in deed, I'm going to put it that way. The more you linger in your mind on the problems of your life, the less likely you're going to come out that thing. But the more you think on these things, the Bible says, think on these things. The more you think, the songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, the more you talk about the miracles that God has already performed in your life, the more your faith gets activated. And I've said this before in past time. The more you meditate on the problems of your life, the more you meditate on the issues of your life, the more you meditate. See, it's not the job that gets me through. It's not the friends. It's not the family. It's Jesus. How in the world? How did you get through that? It's nothing but the grace of God. Yes, hallelujah. I got a job, and yes, I got to go to work because the Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. But guess what? I'm not depending on a job. I'm not depending on the government. Why? Because they're not God. I know the man, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I know a man that can heal me. See, money did not heal me. All the money in the world can't heal you. The fancy cars did not heal me. I got a car outside right now. And guess what? Before that car came, I went through some stuff. And I'm talking about me personally. I'm talking about my own person because I don't know about nobody else. See, some people get all up into their things that they have. They get all worked up about the things that they have, and they idolize the things that they have so much that, you know, they can't live without it. But guess what? I can live without that other stuff. But I can't go a day or a minute without Jesus. Because as long as I got Jesus, I got enough. I don't have to have much for me to praise God. It don't take much for me to praise God. It don't take much for me to start praising him while I'm at home. I don't just praise him in the church. I praise him when I'm at home. I will dance before the Lord when I'm at home. See, charity starts at home. See, I don't just praise him in the church house where everybody can see me, because there's some people that will do that. They'll only praise him at church. No. We need to give God the praise at all times. Psalms 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at what? All times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. What does that mean? That means I'm not focused on my problems. Yes, I got problems. Yes, I got issues. But I'm not focusing. Yes, I know the issues. I know I got this issue over here. Yes, I see it. I got this issue over here. Yeah, I see it. I got that issue over there. Yeah, I see it. You might have 101 issues coming at you at one time. And I see all that. I see it. But I'm not going to dwell in it to where the point that it black, that it takes away from the faith that I have in God. It's not going to take my faith away. It's not going to take our love, the love I have for God away. The things that I go through, the people, because there's some people that do not like you for what you stand for. You, look, there are going to be, in life, this is the thing about miracles. This is the thing about it's only a test. See, when you go through the test, you have people. You have some people around you that are there to encourage you, and then you have some people that are there to see what's going to happen. The spectators, the onlookers, the ones that really don't care whether you live or die. They just want to, some of them do care if you live or die. They want to see you dead. And I'm just speaking the truth. And I ain't just talking about your enemies neither. Lord told me, there are some people that are set, that are looking for you for your demise. They're wondering why you so happy, wondering why you can go through this. I just lost a family member a couple months ago in this year, one of my aunts, very, very close to me. And it was very, very tragic to me. And during that time, before my aunt passed, I was going to work, taking care of my family and everything. And in the midst of me sometimes getting off from work, I would go see my aunt in the hospital. The last week before she passed, before my aunt passed, I was up there almost every day after work. Would go to work. I would, get ready for work, go to work. As soon as I leave work, I go to the hospital, go visit my aunt. And then I'd go home and spend time with my family and all that, But the thing is that I still had a smile on my face. I was crying because I lost my family member. Yes, I lost the person that was very, very close to me. Because not even a year had passed before My grandfather had passed. Hadn't even been a year yet. And then in the midst of that, I had lost another auntie. So I had lost three people in the span of not even 1 year. Not even a year. I lost two aunties and a grandfather. My grandfather and both my aunts. And I went through all of this. But I still had a praise on the inside. I still gave God the glory. Still yet sad. Still yet sorrow. Still yet in sorrow. Because I wept. I cried. But I still gave God the praise. I wept. I cried. Still went to work with a smile on my face. And there were some people on my job that was like, wait a minute, you done lost two aunties, a grandfather, your other grandmother on my mother's side was in the hospital in another state. You battling all of this, and you still smiling? You still laughing with us? You still going? And I'm still cause of the grace of God, the faith I have in him, because he's able to keep me. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There is no way in the world that without faith I wouldn't have lost my mind. Because there are some people that can go through a little bit even a little portion of that, and they lose their mind, and they ready to take their own life. There's some people that are like that. There are some people that will go through things, and they ready to just take their life because they don't see a way out. And that's and they can only go through a little bit, a little fraction of what you or I have went through. And they ready to just end it all. But we have to stand firm in God. The Bible says, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Stand on what was said unto you by God. Stand on the faith that God gave to you. Don't let nothing separate you from what God has said unto you. Continue to seek God for your miracle. I seek your face, O Jacob Selah. That's what the Bible says. The word of God declares that we stand on faith. Not just for cars and clothes and money. Not just for that, but for our mental state. The Bible declares that if you'll keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. Just to keep your mind on, it's sometimes hard for people to keep their mind on Jesus when they're going through stuff. Don't you know some people it's hard to keep their mind on Jesus when they're going through stuff? That's why so many people are leaving the presence of God, because they say it's too hard. But it's not hard. You gotta get down and dirty. When I say down and dirty, you gotta be into the ground with your faith. You got to have that mustard seed faith. You got to get that mustard seed down into the ground, deep. You got to have your faith deep and rooted in God. Your thought process deep and rooted. That's when I say get down and dirty with it. Because the dirt on the ground is dirty. It's dirty. But you got to get down in there. You got to get deep. And when I say get deep down in prayer, deep down in fasting, deep down in your word. Just get grounded in it, because that'll keep you. Some put their faith in horses and chariots. I don't put my faith in none of that stuff. My faith is grounded in God. My faith is grounded in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's how I can get my miracle. My miracle won't come from nothing less than that. There's nothing more that comes than having your faith signed, sealed, and delivered in God. Yes, I lost this. Yes, I lost that. But guess what? I still got my joy. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. I still got my joy. I can lose everything else, but as long as I got joy in Jesus, I got enough. It does not matter. Now, do I want the nice things of life? Do I want the do I want the blessings of God? Yes. But if God don't bless me with nothing else, I know that as long as I got the Holy Ghost and as long as I know I'm living right and as long as I know I'm going to heaven, that's all right with me. It's all right with me. I don't need nothing else. If God don't bless me with another thing, I need, right now, if there's anybody that wants to chime in on this thing here, talking about miracles and talking about it's only a test, you can go ahead and chime on in on today if you want to. Amen. If there's anybody that's listening in Jesus' name, amen, you can chime in on the conversation at this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. I thank God for what the Lord is doing, because it is only a test. It's only a test. It's only a test that you're going through. And you'll see the salvation of the Lord real soon. But you got to stand firm. You can't get backtracked. You can't let things and people and the naysayers tell you that it can't be done. Can't do it. Can't do it. I'm going to share this with you. And this is about the praises of God. The praises of God help you get to your miracle. They do. Praise, worship, living right. This is where the scripture in Jude, if I could turn there real quick, the scripture in Jude that says we must contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We must contend for that faith. We must contend in the faith that God has delivered unto us. Now, how do we contend? We stay rooted. We said we stay rooted in prayer. We stay rooted in fasting. We stay rooted. Why? Because that's an encouragement to us. That helps us stay on course until the miracle comes. But why? What does praise do? Praise do for us in our seeking for a miracle that we have not got yet? How does that help us? Because as we quoted before, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What is it? That is a part of seeking God. The praises. Amen. See, when you praise God, when you give Him the praise, it moves God. It moves Him. It does. It does. It moves God to move for you. It moves God to move for you. I'm going to say this one more time. It moves God to move for you. There is nothing else. There is nothing else besides these weapons, because that's what they are. Because the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. When you're going through a test, is nothing but a stronghold. That test is trying to hold you to see how long it'll take for me to, how long for that test to make you break, to see if you'll break. That test is there to see if you'll break. It's just like the military. When they do basic training in the military, they do basic training. Those soldiers, those generals, those combat officers, they test the will of those new recruits in basic training. They push them. They're testing their will to see if they'll break. They do everything they can to break them to see if they'll break. That's what a test does. That's what a test is there for, to see if you'll break. To test your willpower. To test your willpower. Will you break or will you stand? The willpower. Where is your willpower stand at? Will you break in the midst of the test or will you stand in the midst of the test? The Bible says, stand therefore and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand. Having to done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand. Are you going to stand? Look, I know Apostle Cook would know this, and a couple others. If you've ever been to on the West Coast or the East Coast, say California, Florida, somewhere in those regions over there, on the East Coast or the West Coast. Especially, I like to use California and Florida, because I know there's other places with trees like these, but palm trees. I've only been to two states where I've seen palm trees. Well, three if you count Arizona. But I've been to two main states that I've seen palm trees. With a palm tree, you don't see palm trees in many states in the United States. In the United States of America, you don't see. In a lot of the 50 states, you don't see a lot of palm trees. Like in here in Indiana, we don't see palm trees. I have not seen one palm tree in Indiana in all the years I've been here. Not one. When I fly to the West Coast, see palm trees everywhere. It's a beautiful sight. If you've ever seen a palm tree, and this is the best example I can use as to stand on the salvation of God, to stand on the faith that God has put in us. This is how we should stand on our most holy faith. The example is a palm tree. That palm tree, storm hits. This is the example that the Lord gave to me, that the Lord showed me. When a storm hits, and that palm tree is in the midst of that storm, that palm tree can go left, that palm tree can go right, can be pushed right. It can go everywhere. It can, but it will stand in the same place that it was built on. it won't break. It won't. That palm tree is so strong to go through any storm. I have yet to see a palm tree break in the midst of a storm. And we have to be like that palm tree. Even though we are going through the test, we have to stand in the certain in the same place that God has planted us to be at, in our most holy faith. We have to stand on our most holy faith. There are some people that say that they stand on faith, that they stand on the will of God, and yet they, the one time, that one time that, hey, it's time for you to be tested, you're, that person is really, really ready, willing, and able to go the opposite way. That's what I was trying to say, y'all, ready, willing, and able. That was a tongue twister there, y'all. But they're ready, willing, and able to go the opposite way because they said the test is too strong. I you know what? I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired. I'm just so tired of waiting on this. I'm so tired of waiting on that. I'm going to help God out. And then they mess up the whole situation more than worse than what they had it before. We can't do that. We have to stand. We have to stand, therefore. We have to believe. The Bible lets us know that we must stand on our firm foundation. There is no, look, the only way for us to receive the blessing is that we stand. Stand on what? Stand on our faith. I'm going to read this verse to you in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. In standing on your faith, I believe it's Romans, in the book of Romans, it lets us know in the book of Romans, I think it's chapter 8. And I think it starts at verse 35, I believe, somewhere in there, where it asks us, what shall separate us? What shall separate us? And in those verses, actually, before we read Philippians, I want to go there real quick because the Lord is leading me to go there right now. Let's just read it, y'all. I believe it's Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 35. Amen. And it reads, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation or distress or principality, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. There you go. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, what is that saying to us? That's letting us know we have to stand. All of these things will come. This is, just these verses is telling us something. And these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In these five verses, there's two things that's telling us something. Two things that these five verses is telling us. Number one is that perilous times will come. Tribulation shall come. And I'm not talking about the tribulation or the signs of the end times. I'm not talking about that when I say perilous times shall come. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the tests and trials of life. Okay? That's what I mean. Amen? It says that we are killed all the day long. We are counted for sheep for the slaughter, which means we're going to be targeted by tests and trials, by the enemy, by our flesh, by people, by the naysayers, by the haters, by the onlookers, by all of that. We're going to be targeted. And some of them might target you, and some of them might target you and try to attack you, try to get you off course. But what shall separate us from the love of God? In the love of God lies our faith. In the love of God lies our deliverance. Amen? It lies all in there. All of that lies in there. Look, what shall separate us? What shall separate us from the love of God? Is there anything? See, let's look at this. Is there anything? If you have something that your heart desires, say, and I'm going to use this, because this is the only example that I could think of that the Lord put on my mind. I'm not going to let nobody or nothing. I'm going to do all I can to protect my family. Okay? My children, my wife, I'm going to do all I can within my power to make sure that my family is protected. Amen? I'm going to do all I can to make sure that my family is provided for. Try to meet as best I can. I'm going to try to meet their needs, to make sure that they, I'm going to do the best I can to make sure that they want for nothing. That's the same thing with, see, Jesus holds the power to make sure that we want for nothing. But in the midst of that, my wife and my children have the faith enough or believe that, hey, daddy's going to be there. My husband's going to be there. No matter what happens, that's the same faith that we need to have in God. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Once you put your faith in God, you are in the secret place. Because some people can't even get to the secret place. And what I mean by that is because some people don't have enough faith to get there. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. So what does that mean? Everything that concerns me, I'm going to put my faith in him, and I know that he has my best interest at heart. I know that he has me. I know that he's guiding me. I know that he's taking care of me. There's nothing that I go through that God don't know about, that God can't bring me through. That's what that means. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We must be underneath his shadow at all times. And the way we stay under his shadow, the way we stay under his protection, so that when the storms of life come, we won't be taken under. We stay underneath the shadow of the Almighty. The way we do that through prayer. We do that through fasting. We do that standing on our most holy faith. I believe God can do anything. I do. But you also have to see this. We as people have to see that we have to live right. That's why the Bible says, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Saints, we must live right to get the blessing. Saints, we must live right to get the miracle. This is why I say God is not going to drop a miracle just because he looks at our faith in him. Are we in alignment with him? Are we obeying the faith that God has put in us? Because the Bible says, the Bible declares to us, and what I mean by obeying our faith, are we doing the things that God has called for us to do so we can get to the miracle? Because we can delay miracles in our life if we're not obeying the word of God. The Bible says, this is why the Bible declares obedience is better than sacrifice. Because when we don't obey, we sacrifice something. We might be delaying. We sacrifice a delay. There's a delay in the miracle that should have come a month ago. But since we're being disobedient unto the word of God, it's now been delayed. Now, does that mean all the blessings that are delayed come from our disobedience? No. No, it does not. Because the blind man that was healed by Jesus, the Pharisees and the Sadducees asked his parents, asked God, did this man sin? Did his parents sin? And God had to let them know, No. He didn't sin. His parents didn't sin. But this thing that he has upon him is for the grace of God. It's for the glorification of God. Some of the tests and the trials of life that come in our life are for the glorification of God. It's to show God off. It's to show that God is still doing things in our life. It is to show mankind that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. Now, on the flip side of that coin, there are some things that come because of our disobedience unto God. And God will let you know which one is which. If you're getting a whooping, or is this just here because he needs to get the glory out of your life. He needs to show off his glory unto man through you. He's using you to show off his glory unto man. And I've been there, me personally. I have been there. And I've testified about this many, 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 many times. When I went through my ordeal with my heart in around 2010, 2011, around there, I was asking God, why? Why me, Lord? Why? I just went through this. I thought this was all over. Why am I going through this again? Why? I went through this from 2005. I started in 2005, and I'd ask God, I said, God, what in the world is going on? And for 5 years, I was like, God, what did I do something wrong? And God didn't answer me. God didn't answer me until the end of the test. He did not answer me until the end of the test. Specifically, he said, Adam, I sent you through that because of two reasons, to build your faith and to show my power. Because there is somebody else that I needed to see. Watch you go through. Because I'm getting ready to allow this other person to go through the same thing you just went through. And they needed to see you go through to be an encouragement unto them. That's why I say, that's why sometimes I tell people, sometimes the test is not there for us. Sometimes the test is there for other people. The tests in our lives sometimes are not there just to get us in line. Sometimes the test is there because it's there to build our faith. Sometimes it's there to show God off. He's using us to allow the person that on the opposite side of our test to see God's power. Because sometimes what you're going through, you're helping somebody. I had this individual come to me and tell me I'm going through the same. After I went through it, and then they started going through it. And I went to go visit them there. Back then, I went there to visit them in the hospital, and they specifically told me to my face. They said, Brother Adam, I watched you go through, and I'm going through the same thing. But I watched you go through. You never complained. But they said, I can make it because I watched you go through it. I know God can deliver me because God, I watch God deliver you. So not all tests and trials are there for correction. Now, God will let you know whether you're being corrected or not, whether you're not living, because sometimes God will correct us. God will whoop us. God will chase us. Sometimes God, through our problems, God will chasten us. And God will let you know which is which. What you're going through. Why are you going through this thing? Because there's some tests that I've been through personally that God has showed me, I'm doing this because you're not in line with me and I need you to get back in line with me. And then he'll tell you if it's not a test where you need to get back in line, where he's correcting you. Because the word of God is not always here to tickle our ears. The word of God is here to correct. The word of God is here to instruct. The word of God is here to discipline us. Get us back in line with God. Keep us on our toes. The word of God is not always going to be gentle. This is why I say some miracles come through the hardest test. You want big miracles. I hear a lot of preachers say miracles, signs, and wonders. Look. To get to those miracle signs and wonders, we got to go through some things. We got to go through some stuff. And sometimes it ain't going to feel good. Sometimes the road will not be easy. Sometimes it won't be a quick test. Sometimes it's a long test that God allows us to go through. Now, does God test us? No. God never tests us. God never tries to tempt us, okay? The devil does. Problems. Now, God allows problems to happen. But in his allowing it to happen, he's still watching that problem, and he only let that problem only go so far with you. Just look at Job. When the devil, he wanted to take Job's life, literally. He wanted to put all those problems on Job to where it takes his life. This is where the scripture in John 10:10 comes from. John 10:10 says, the thief coming but to steal, kill, and to destroy. The thief is the devil. The devil came unto Jesus. The devil came unto God and said, Lord, if you just remove his hand, he'll curse you to your face. I'll make sure that he curses you to your face. Just to remove your hand. But God had to let him know. You could take all that stuff away from him, but you can't touch his life. Can't take his life. Because God knows, God knew Job's heart. He knew he wouldn't curse him to his face. He already knew this. He knew this. That's why he let the devil only go so far. The tests in your life come with restrictions, depending on what the test is there for. Is it there to correct you? Is it there to get you in line, back in line with God? Or is it there to help somebody else? Is it there to increase your faith? It all depends on what the test is there for. Now, if the test is there to get you in line, that's a different story. If the test is there to get us in line, God's going to allow some things to happen to allow you to think, okay, wait a minute. Let me get myself, this stuff was not happening before I got out of line with God. So let me get myself back in line with God. Or, see that individual going through, you go through a test. And then you have somebody else go through that same test and you're able to testify and say, I just went through that. I just went through that. I've been there, done that. Me personally, I have been there and done that. Been there, done that. More than once. Several times. Been there, done that. I just lost, I didn't have enough money to pay my light bill. Been there, done that. Have been there, done that. Been there, done that. I didn't have enough money for my rent. Been there, done that. I've been there, done that. And God has showed up every single time. This is the nutshell. This is the key to it all. If you are faithful to God, God will be faithful to you. God will not have you lacking in your life, in areas in your life. As long as you stay faithful to God, he will be faithful to you. That's the key in a nutshell. We have to be faithful unto God. The songwriter says, as I look back over my life, I can see how your love is guiding me. Even though I've done wrong, you've never left me alone. Lord, you've been so faithful. Even though I did some things that you did not want me to do, you have been so faithful. Another song says, how great is our God? How great is our God? Our God is great. It's all good. It's all good when it comes to God. When God gets ready to, send you that miracle, there's a couple things you need to understand. There's a couple things we all need to understand. God wants to bless us. God wants us to have the best in life, but we have to be in line for the blessing. We have to be in line for the miracle. We have to be in line for it. Because if we're not, don't expect God. Expect the delay. If we as people of God are not in line with God for the blessings of God, expect a delay. Because God, and the reason why I say expect a delay for the blessing that God wants to give you is because if he gave you that blessing before you were ready for it, you'd mess it up, or I would mess it up. So if we're outside of the will of God, expect the delay in the blessing. Expect a delay in the miracle that you want from the Lord. Expect the delay. because we are not in alignment with God. But if you are in alignment with God, only thing you got to do is stand like that palm tree. Storm hit, you might go left, you might go right, you might sway left, you might sway right, but don't break. Don't give up. Continue to stand. Stand on the faith that God has put in you. When he saved you, he put a grain of a mustard seed faith in you. And you know what that grain of a mustard seed, do you know why they call it a grain of a mustard seed? Because once he plants that seed of faith in you, he puts it in the ground of your spirit, and he expects that faith to grow. And when storms come, it brings what? Rain. Rain helps the plant to grow and to blossom. With the storms of life helps that grain of a mustard seed to grow into leaps and bounds in your faith. When those storms come, when that heavy rain of storms of life come, those storms of life come to make you stronger. It helps to grow your faith. It helps your faith to grow out of the mustard seed into a palm tree. The grain of a mustard seed is very, very small. It's very, very tiny. If you had that mustard seed faith, that tiny bit of faith, he puts it in you. He puts it in the ground of your spirit, in the ground of your walk. And then he tells you, water that seed. I'm going to water the seed with the storms, but you have to take care of that seed. How do you take care of that seed? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You have to pray. You have to fast. That's how we grow. Then when the storms of life come, the rain hits it, and it grows. Grows when you go through, because when after you come through the test, and you go through another test, you start thinking about the test that God has brought you from. And it builds your faith. That's where praise comes in. That's why the Bible says, think on these things. That's why the Bible declares he'll keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. If you think about, that's why the songwriter declared, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Why does your soul cry out, hallelujah? Why do you start praising him? Because you start thinking about what God has brought you from. That moves God. When you start praising him, this is where Psalm 34 declares, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, when you start thinking about, you got your mind on Jesus, then when you start thinking about what God has brought you from, you got your mind on Jesus, then you start praising him for what you done thought about. That's why the Bible declares, think on these things. Think on these things that are of a good report. Think on these things that are pure, honest, and of a good report. Those things are good reports. Thinking about what God has brought you from. Thinking about what God has brought you from is a good report, right? He said, keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. Your mind is in perfect peace when you start thinking about what God has brought you from. Amen? And when the rains and the storms of life happen, you're not focused on the storms of life. You're focused on the praises. That's where Psalm 34 comes in at. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Those praises are lifted up unto God. He said in Psalms, in the book of Psalms, he said, he inhabits the praises of Israel. He inhabits the praises of his people, which means he inhabits your praise, which means he is moved by your praise. And when he's moved, that's when that's where the Bible declares where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty to do what? Liberty to tell your problems, I'm not going to dwell in that. tell your problem, I got the victory. To tell you got the liberty to say, I got victory. Despite what I'm going through, I got victory because the Lord is here. You move God quicker when you do not rest in your problems. You move God quicker when you start praising him in the midst of the test. When you start giving God the praise in the midst of the test and the trials of your life, whatever you lose, whatever you gained, whatever it is, if you give God the praise in the midst of what you're going through, I guarantee you God will bring you out faster. I give God the praise right now. You got a contract to praise him. And that goes for saint and sinner. Don't matter who you are. Everybody has a contract to praise God. Psalms 150. Uh-huh. Amen. Psalms 150 declares, amen, that we give God the praise. What do you mean? What do you mean? In these last few minutes that I have, I'm just going to break this down real quick. Psalms 150, that's our contract. Psalms 150, and this is a contract that God signed, sealed, and delivered for us to do. And we, once we, every day that we breathe, we sign that contract to praise him. Psalms 150, verse number 6. That's the contract right there. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And you know what? That's not just for human beings. That's for all that's breathing. The dog and the cat praises the Lord. The birds in the and the trees, they praise the Lord. So if the birds and the elements can praise the Lord, why can't I? Your praise is a weapon to you getting to your miracle. Your worship is a weapon to getting to your miracle. Your prayers, your staying in prayer, your staying in fasting, your staying in the Word of God are all weapons of you getting to your miracle. That way you can say at the end of your test, it was only a test. It was only a test. It was only a test. It was only a test to get you to your next test so you could pass this next test so you can get the bigger blessing. Amen. I hope you got something out of this. I pray that the Lord blesses you on this week in Jesus' name. I'm looking for a miracle. I really am. I'm looking for a miracle on today. I'm asking the Lord for something even in my life right now. Even as I speak, I'm asking the Lord to bless me in Jesus' name. I'm asking the Lord to bless, to take me and my family and my loved ones to higher heights and deeper depths in him. Yes, amen. Lord. I'm looking for spiritual blessings, natural blessings even right now. And I want to end this in prayer.
Amen.
I don't usually end this in prayer, but I'm going to end this in prayer today because I know that we're all going through a lot. And as I said, I'm going through something myself. I'm not going to dwell on it. But my thing is this. If God doesn't do another thing for me, I know God is still able. The three Hebrew boys declared that to King Nebuchadnezzar, that even if God didn't deliver them, they're still going to serve God. And that's the way we need to be. Amen. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, Lord God. We thank you on today for this lesson on today, talking about it's only a test, the miracles of God. God, we ask you to just bless us on today, Lord God. We thank you for your mighty power. We thank you for your for this time that we have shared with you to bring forth your word on today. Lord God, we ask you just to touch the hearts of your people. Any person that is going through right now, financially, emotionally, mentally, physically, whatever they might be going through right now, whatever test it might be, Lord God, we ask you to touch now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we ask you to bring that man out, bring that woman out. Any person that is going through that needs a natural healing in their body, we ask you to touch their body right now from the crown of their head to the very soles of their feet now. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, anybody needing salvation, Lord God, we ask you to save them now, God, to touch their hearts, that they might ask, what must I do to be saved? Lord, we know that baptism, that repentance and baptism is the key element to receiving salvation, God. Lord God, we ask that you pour out your spirit even more. You said in the last days that you would pour out your spirit upon all flesh, God. And we're asking you to pour it out tenfold even more, God, on today. That somebody might ask, what must I do to be saved? Lord God, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Lord God, anybody going through right now, I speak over their life today, that you will be whatever they stand in the need of, God, that you would be their shelter, that you would be their food, that you would be their bridge over troubled water, God. In the name of Jesus, we know that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are El Shaddai, God, that you are the I am that I am. Lord God, we thank you for being the I am that I am. Whatever we need, you are. So we're asking today to be that I am in our life, God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. I love you, each and every one of you, in Jesus' name. As it states in Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace one day. This is the only way to make it into heavenly places. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And until next week, or whenever the Lord says, when the Lord says the same, I will see you next week, whenever the Lord says, in Jesus' name. And as my grandmother used to say, if I don't see you again, or if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you in Jesus' name.